Good morning, good morning, good morning.
It's a little quiet in here because it's so cold, or either you all are nervous because, I don't know, a really short guy talking here. It's not a sermon. I'm not a preacher. I didn't want to say that, but you look in the program, you see message. It's just a message. It is a message from God, and we're going to have a good time for, I thought it was going to be about 15 minutes to noon before I got up here, but the service is going pretty fast here, so I told my wife I had to cut out some of the stuff that God gave me. He was giving me things even this morning. 7:30 this morning, the dog, little Piper, comes and starts scratching and banging. And I jumped up, leaped out of the bed, and said, oh, God, he just gave me something else to write down and another prop to use. So we'll have a good time. So I'm going to ask you first thing to do is join me, and we're going to do some hand clapping because it's so cold that my blood barely moving here. So let's give those who put the program together today, I want to thank Mom, M-O-M, the Minister of Music. They got nervous, like, is that your mom? No, that's Gail. How about the Minister of Music? Yeah, we were talking all week about the music, you know, what we would put into the program. We're going to tie it into love. Gail mentioned this, I think, early on, the first week or so of January, that we will be introducing 2018 and talking about love, a very powerful word that we take for granted. In this day and time, you know, I grew up in the 60s and 70s. In the 70s, we played music. I played in an R&B band for 21 years, and we sung about love. And now the music's a little bit different now. But we sung about love, and we thought we knew what it meant to love someone when you tell someone, I love you. What does that really mean? What does it really mean? So how about just turn to somebody next to you right now and say, I love you. See how that feels. It's whoever it is. I love you. What does that really mean to you? And that's what we're going to talk about today. What does that really mean? Yeah, I see some people like, oh. But anyway. Another thing I think I'm going to spend some time with, since I have time, more than I thought, and I will get you out before dark and before the kickoff and before they turn on the grill there at the cookout or whatever. It won't be long, but I want to get a few things done here. First of all, I want to thank a lot of folks for what happens here at Lakeview. When God gave me this message, I thought, wait a minute, this is not right, because it said, talk about love, and we were already in that place. So I thought, Lakeview doesn't need that, because we have it going on here at Lakeview. There's just love in this building all the time. And the people that we interface with off of this property, at least for myself, I can say I feel genuine love here in this church. And we came here by happenstance, but I don't think I would ever leave unless you put me out. It's so much love here. People are genuine. Something happens in the community, you rush to be with those in need as a group and as individuals. The pastor is just awesome. He said he's going to get the tape. So let me order 2 DVDs and 2 CDs with fries on the side and extra ketchup, because he wants a tape. He said, I'm going to see what you said, because God has filled me with this excitement about your message, and I have no clue what it is. I asked him, so what do you want me to talk about? He said, talk about whatever's on your heart. Immediately, I went to God and prayed and prayed and prayed. I said, what do you want me to talk about? And I shared that with him, just the scripture itself. He jotted it down, gave it to Lynn, and we were off and into the bulletin, got some songs together, and here we are. So let's thank a bunch of folks and get some hand clapping going on here. How about all the deacons, if you'll raise your hand and wave your hand if you're a deacon, a past deacon, any deacons in here today? Let's give them a hand clap. All right. How about the deaconess? Deaconess. If you're a deaconess, I've been a deaconess. Let me see your hand. There's some deaconess right there. Sister Sarah. All right. And the musicians, raise your hand if you're a musician. Hand clap for the musicians. How about the evangelists and worship committee? I see this Sister Jennifer back there, committee. All right. How about the chicken frying committee? Nope, not them. How about the ushers? Hand clap for the ushers. Are you warming up? Blood moving a little bit? How about the, we got the trustee board. That's a big one here at Lakeview, trustee board. All right, are you on the nominating committee? Anyone on the nominating committee? There we are, all right. All righty. How about the children's ministry, the children's education and ministry? Yeah, how about all the kids stand up? All the children stand up. Let's give them a hand. So they could be... Yeah, they could be somewhere else right now, but they have great parents who, I don't know, did they make you come or did you just, sometimes, I know my dad used to say, do you want to throw the football and the baseball? Guess what? We're going to Sunday school. And he used to love it when I went to Sunday school because I would ask the hard questions because I did not understand the Bible. And I would ask questions. I said, nobody can walk on some water. Nobody can come back from the dead. And I would ask those questions and he would love it because he could counter that, of course, with the scriptures. So he dragged me right out to bed, and you're going to Sunday school or there will be no ball game. It was that simple. But we really appreciate you all, because when you come, it makes a big difference. So we're trying to teach them so that when we are all gone away, that there's another generation of lovers of Christ here at Lakeview. So the pastor, let's do this. How about if everyone would turn around, see that box up there in, right over top of the clock there? You might have to stand up. Let's stand up. We'll get some exercise today. Let's stand up, look at that box right there over the clock, and say on three, we miss you, Pastor and First Lady. One, two, three. We miss you, Pastor and First Lady. They're going to get that on the DVD when they get back. So let's give them a hand, the Pastor and First Lady Elizabeth. All right, a lot of thanks. We can never stop giving thanks. It makes you feel good when you're recognized. I know I missed some committee. What other committees do we have here? The Educate. What's another committee? Someone. The who? The choir. How about a hand clap for the choir? Yeah. Here's a real big one, and these guys are going to earn their money today. Right back there in that big window right there. It's the audiovisual team. We work them out, so how about a hand clap for them? I know there's more. If I miss someone, blame it on my mind and not my heart, because I know there are more committees here, but those are some of the primary committees here that make Lakeview click right along, and all the volunteers that come out taking down the tree, taking down the nativity scene, putting it up, cutting the grass, and putting the flowers, and it's just so much that goes on here. If you're in radio land and you're looking for a church that will keep your blood flowing, this is the place. Because there's plenty to do. If you did not sit on a committee last year and you're coming on for 2018, already we thank you in advance for what you're going to do here at Lakeview. So today, thank you, and we're going to talk about a scripture in the Bible. It might be the shortest book in the Bible. It's one page, so it's chapter one. You don't have to say chapter 1 or 2 or 3. It's chapter 1 only. We're going to put it on the board here in a moment. But before that, I want to say that we praise God for what he has done for us. So we're going to have a lot of walkaways here today. We're going to, you know, you go to the Cheesecake Factory. Anyone been to Cheesecake Factory? Is there one here close by? There's one hand, Cheesecake Factory. They give you a lot of food. I saw four hands. So you'd probably be dreaming now. They give you a lot of food at the Cheesecake. As soon as you go in, they almost give you the carry-out bag with the meal because it's so large. The meals are just, it's crazy. One person cannot eat all of that food. I don't think so. But you get a carry-out, and you take it home, and you finish it. So today, I want to give you some carry-outs, probably four or five carry-outs, something you can walk out of this building with today and remember it and use it. And one of them that I don't have in my bag back here is just to say I love you. Today, somewhere after 12 o'clock or whenever, I hope I can get you out by 12 o'clock, if not earlier, but tell someone you love them on a regular basis if they're in your home or maybe someone else not, you know, in your immediate family, but tell them I love you. And after we talk today, I hope when you say, I love you, it has a different meaning or a more powerful meaning. And you may already have this all in your soul already, but God told me to tell you to listen curiously for what you don't know and listen carefully for what you can use going forward about love. When you say, I love you, what does that really mean? Are you just saying it? Or we're going to listen today at God's message to see what can you add to that, that you don't have today. When you say, I love you, you say, I love you. What does that mean? Are you patient, kind, rude, and all of that? So we're going to go through that in just a bit. The scripture that I'm going to speak from, it comes from the book called Philemon. Some say Philemon, but I call it Philemon. It is a short book. It's one page, and it is written by the Apostle Paul, who's one of my favorites. Paul is accredited for writing 14 of 27 books in the New Testament, and I'll tell you a little bit about him in just a moment. Paul was he passed away about 65 years old, and he was a man who traveled around in what they call Asia Minor, and he persecuted the Christians, not because he didn't believe in God, but he did it because he thought the Jewish followers of Jesus were not in line with the status quo. So he was killing Christians, thousands of Christians. And ironically, he writes 14 of the books in the New Testament. That's real. And there's some arguments about whether it was 13 and 12 and whether he wrote them all and all. But most theologians agree that he wrote at least half of the New Testament, someone who used to kill Christians. Isn't that odd? So I like to think about who writes the books in the Bible when I study the Bible and think, when did they write them? Who were they? What was the background on some of the people that put the pen on the paper? They used to write on something called, I think it was papyrus. MJ, is that right? Am I saying that right? Papyrus. Yeah, they write with the ink, and some of you younger folk would not have seen this before. You take the ink and the pen, you stick it in the jar of ink, and then you start writing, and then you got to get some more ink. And it would take a long time to write a letter, but Paul wrote many letters to churches and individuals, and one of them was to a man named Philemon that we'll talk about in a moment. So I am so grateful that he gave me not just that message, but another message that we'll talk about, and I kind of tie them together from the book of Corinthians. Paul wrote letters to the church in Corinth about love, a piece about love, and we'll get that on the screen here in just a moment. Before we do that, let me ask you to bow your heads for a moment. Let me ask God, invite him in to be a part of this service. So if you'll bow your heads with me for a moment, let's go to God in prayer. Most gracious Lord, the ruler of the universe, we thank you so much. We thank you for Sunday morning here at Lakeview. God, I thank you personally for the opportunity to come up here and talk before my church family, God, and share what you've put in my heart today. You are awesome, God. We ask for forgiveness for all of the wrong that we did this past week. God, we recognize that you're our only God, and we want to forgive those who trespassed against us this past week, did wrongs against us. Teach us today how to just forget it, just drop it and forget it and keep moving into the new week. God, we thank you for waking us up this morning, waking us up in our right mind, coming to this building. No one had to guide us here. We know who we are. We know whose we are. God, we know where we are and why we're here. That's a blessing in itself, God. The hospitals are just packed out with people who woke up this morning and did not know who they were. But now you have given us mercy for another day. And God, we know that death can come at any time to any of us. You can be cute and you can be handsome and die. You could be in the White House or the crack house and die. But God, we're so grateful that you let us wake up this morning. Oh, God, we love you for that. We love you for just giving us the strength to drive the cars and put on the clothes and put on the smell good. God, we look and smell like Christians, God. Let us be like real Christians. Teach us to love today. Teach us to enhance our love. We thank you for the love here at Lakeview because it is so powerful right now, God, and we're just going to enhance it. If this message is not for someone here, God, let them take it out into the world. Take it to a relative or a friend at work tomorrow and share that love for Jesus Christ, and we want to have God-like love in our heart. So, God, we thank you in advance for what you're going to do. We've invited you into the service, and we can't have a service without you. So welcome, Lord, to this service. And let everybody in here say amen, please. Amen. Okay? All right. AV team, here we go. On the board, on the wall, we're going to look at Philemon. It's a chapter. What chapter is it? One. Can't only, there's only one. There's got to be one. Chapter one. It's a letter that Paul is writing to an old friend. And let me just, we can read it with me if you wish, but here we go. Yet, for love's sake, I'd rather appeal to you, being such a one as Paul, the aged and now also a prisoner of Jesus Christ. Now, I appeal to you for my son Onesimus, whom I have begotten while in my chains, who once was unprofitable to you, but now is profitable to you and to me. The 12th verse. I am sending him back. You therefore receive him, that is, with my own heart, whom I wish to keep with me, that on your behalf he might minister to me in my chains for the gospel. But without your consent, I wanted to do nothing, that your good deed might not be compulsion, as it were, but voluntary. For perhaps he departed for a while for this purpose, that you might receive him forever. No longer as a slave, but more than a slave, a beloved brother, especially to me, but how much more to you, both in the flesh and in the Lord. If you count me as a partner, receive him as you would me. But if he has wronged you or owes you anything, put that on my account. And the last verse, I, Paul, am writing with my own hand. I will repay, not to mention to you that you owe me even your own self besides. And that's coming from the word of God from Philemon, the first chapter and only chapter, the 9th through the 19th verse. God is love. What I want to get here today with these passages, and AV, if you can push me back to the first verse. Those were, the verses were at the bottom. Can you get me back to the first verse? And we're going to break this down for a moment. First verse, the Bible is the book that cannot be destroyed. You know, thousands and thousands of Bibles have been burned and tossed into pits and over the hill. And what people have tried to destroy the Bible from the onset. But it continues to be printed more than any book in history. And we use it to hear from God through 66 books. Books that were, now this is what I believe, that those books were inspired by God and men. And some theologians argue that there were ladies that put their hands to the paper as well, wrote these books, and God spoke to them through inspiration, divine inspiration. And now we have the living word. I believe it to be true. Do you? Do you? The Bible, the truth. So hidden in these books are messages from the Lord. Today, we want to talk about one that focuses on love, trust, and brotherhood. And you're going to see this as we go through the verses. The first verse, he's talking to, Paul is in jail, by the way. He's in Rome, in jail, in a cold, dark, wet cell, and he's writing a letter. And back in that time, if you were incarcerated, you were allowed to write and send letters to different people, and they would take the letters and deliver them. This particular letter, he's writing to a man named Philemon, who was a friend of his, who he had converted to Christianity, or maybe just groomed him, if you will. And they became brothers, and sometimes they use the term son. Paul would say, well, that was my son, or that was my brother. But he groomed and made Philemon a messenger Philemon probably was a rich man. He had servants. Now, the scriptures use the word slave. Back in that time, there were people who just had money, and they had people doing stuff for them. So we don't have to get ethnic and talk about black slaves and all of that. This was about servitude, where people paid. If they were wealthy, they would have people that waited on them, basically. And he had this friend that he had groomed, and then Philemon had servants. And one of them was Onesimus that we'll talk about here in a moment. Onesimus is the person that we'll add into the threefold message here. So Paul is talking to him. He's grown old. Paul is in jail. He's gone through three missionaries, and he's been beat up, scorned, and just downtrodden, but he's still writing letters and still getting out of jail and going to the next. He opened many churches during this time. And let's go to verse 10. Paul's in jail. He's writing to Philemon and asking him, I want you to think about taking this person back that has run off from you. Onesimus was a servant for Philemon, and he ran off. He ran away. He was a runaway servant. And he ran into Paul somewhere along the way. Now, Paul is in jail at this time, but somewhere in his preaching, he has run into Onesimus and converted him. Onesimus is now a powerful minister in his own. Paul is writing to Philemon to say, how about you take him back now? I'm locked up, as they say. I'm locked down, but I will be out. I want you to take this man back. He is a powerful minister of the gospel at this point, a believer of Jesus Christ, and you will profit from having him. So in that particular passage, he appeals again. He's writing, and he has, somewhere in that time, he has run into Onesimus, and we can go to the verse 11, and he's telling Philemon, at one time, this runaway servant was not profitable to you. He was useless. He didn't have anything to do but serve you, but I've learned later on that he's a very powerful man, so he's unprofitable, but now he's profitable. He was useless, but now he is useful. Full. Onesimus, the name actually means useful. Next verse, please. We're at verse 12 now. I'm sending him back. He's going to give him the letter, send him back to his former owner. You therefore receive him that is mine own heart. So Paul is telling him, I love this man. He was useless. He's useful. He ran into me. I've converted him. Now he's very useful. I want you to check him out. I'm going to send him back to you with this letter. And verse 13, whom I wish to keep with me. Paul said, I would rather keep him for me. He's such a powerful deacon. I would like to keep him here. But you will profit from using him more because he's free. I'm not. I'm locked up. I'm Paul. I'm locked up. I'm old. And now I have run across this man that will benefit your ministries. So I'm going to send him to you with this letter. That's what's happening here in that passage. I would like to keep him, but I can't use him right now while I'm in chains. I'm locked up in the name of Jesus Christ. Verse 14. But without consent, I wanted to do nothing that your good deed might not be compulsive, as it were voluntary. And let's go to verse 15. Perhaps he departed for a while for this purpose, that he might receive him forever. He's saying now that Onesimus, he ran away for a while, but he's coming back. Have you ever had someone in your life who went away for a while, and when they came back, they were different? Anyone? Is there anyone in here who has maybe a relative who just went away for a while? They just disappeared, stopped calling, and then when they came back, they were so awesome. They were different. Anyone in here ever changed? Or you know someone who has changed? So Onesimus changed. He became a new man. Paul was trying to tell his friend in this letter that he's changed and you will find him very useful. He departed for a while, but now he's going to come back and he's going to be more powerful than ever. Verse 15. Let's go to verse 16. No longer a servant, but more than a servant. a beloved brother. So not only is Paul telling him he's going to come back, but he's going to come back and be on your same level, perhaps. You are a powerful man of God. I'm going to send this guy back who was useless, and now he's useful, and he will be your brother. And if you don't believe that, then Paul said, well, I'm your brother, Philemon. You and I are brothers, and I love this man, Onesimus. So now he will be your brother or your son. They use that term very, very, very often in that culture because Paul, if I understand it correctly, was never with, you know, he didn't have any children. He actually taught about marriage and all, but I don't think Paul, as best we know from reading the scriptures, Paul had no children, but he called many his sons and brothers because he helped groom them or converted them. So he's calling him a brother and asking Philemon if he would accept his runaway servant as a brother, someone who started out as a servant and come back as a brother. That's a strong message to give to someone if someone has taken something from you or ran away. That's one of the worst feelings when someone steals from you. So maybe when people ran away or servants ran away, they would take a little something out of the wherever they were. And people, I have a story I could tell you about someone I know took something from me one time while I was at work. Someone was boarding for a while, and they took something and they left. And it was so hurtful to come home because I was feeding and sheltering, and then you leave, and you don't tell me you're leaving, and then you take something. That's a horrible feeling. So Paul was telling Philemon, I know that he may have taken something, but he's a useful man now. So let's go to the next verse, verse 17. If you count on me, if you believe that I'm your brother, then you should receive him as your brother. Verse 18. But if he has wronged you or taken anything, owes you anything, then I'll take care of it. That's what Paul's telling Philemon. I'll fill in the gap. I'll take care of anything that he took from you. So these are really good buddies. I don't know, some of you may have buddies. I have a friend like that. And I want you to pray for him, too. He's in Columbus, Ohio. His name is Booker Walker, and I have offered his name up in the prayer sometime. He was that guy for me. Everyone has someone in your life that's such a good friend that you would just give them anything that you have. You would give them your money, your car keys, or you would let them live in your home. I have a friend like that, and I thought about this a lot with Philemon and Paul. They were such good friends, and Paul had many as he traveled. But they were so good, they were so close that Paul could say, just trust me. And Philemon did. He trusted Paul. And we don't know how the story ends, but we think that Paul convinced Philemon to take Onesimus back, not as a servant, but a running partner, you know, to go and preach. Because Philemon eventually penned some of Paul's last letters. And Onesimus became one of the pastors or the bishop of a church in Ephesus. And Paul loved that church. So he was a servant at one time, and he became a great man of God who stood before the congregations and preached. And the last verse of Philemon that we're going to talk about today, he says, Paul, Paul, I'm writing with my own hand. He's telling him, it's me. I'm penning this letter to you, and I will repay you anything that Onesimus has taken from you. And the last part is kind of funny because he said, and by the way, you owe me everything anyway, because Paul had converted or helped Philemon rise to the level of knowledge he had about Jesus Christ. So that's the story between 9 and 19 that God shared with me to share with you. Inside of that, I know it's a little busy, and I think I would pick out the first part being the trust. That's one of the components of that. He trusted Paul, and Paul trusted Philemon to do the right thing. And then there was a love that was God-like love. When you forgive someone, I've heard sermons where that was what they call the final frontier. When you can learn to forgive someone for something they've done to you, then that is paramount to the Lord, because most of us will forgive, but we can't forget. I forgive you, but I remember. And we will carry that through relationships. It happens at your, on your job with the children and all. Someone does something one time, and then you say, oh, yeah, I forgive you. But then when you see them heading in that direction again, it comes back. So a paramount place to be with the Lord and have Christian, God-like love in you is to be able to forgive someone and move on. Not just forgive, but forget as well. That's a tough one. So that's that story that I wanted to share with you this morning, and we're going to just peel over a little bit to something else. I need Vaughn, if you come up for me, I'll get my helper here to help me with a piece, and we're going to put up, talk about one more piece that Paul, again, is the author here. Vaughn, can you give me a couple bangs there on the drums there, on those cymbals, just the cymbals, just bang on those cymbals there for a minute for me. A.V., I need 1 Corinthians, if you will, the 13th. Wow. Wow. Let's give him a hand clap. I don't know what you were doing, but I asked Vaughn to do that earlier because I thought about this. Look at that verse for me on the wall. Let's read that together. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I have become sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. Vaughn was just a clanging cymbal just now. It didn't mean anything to, I got a little nervous. He's getting pretty loud. I said, kick off somebody's hearing aid or something. But he's just making noise. What was the name of that song? Was it a song you were playing? No song, just noise. If you don't have love in your heart and you're just running your mouth, oh, I love you, oh, I'll see you, it's just noise. That's the meaning of that verse right there. Just like a clanging cymbal, just making a lot of racket. And we talk to people, we Facebook them in MySpace. Anybody on MySpace? No? I'm the only one on MySpace? I was wondering, I don't get any likes or anything anymore. I guess everybody's gone on to tweeting and all like that, but MySpace, okay. Love, Paul's love, he had God-like love with Onesimus in that story. I hope I didn't butcher it up too bad, but that's the whole gist of it. Paul's in jail, he runs into a man who has run away from his owner at some point, and the man had been chained in servitude, but he had some great attributes, and when he was released, He ran away first, and he gets to Paul. Paul converts him, and then Paul says, I want you to go back to where you came from. And then he writes a letter and says, Philemon, I'm sending this guy back. I know he's bad. He's a bad boy. He stole from you. You didn't get your money's worth from that servant, but now he's back, and I want you to hold hands with him, and let's go and preach that gospel. And I'll be out of jail soon, by the way. If I had read the last few verses of that, if you do that in the sometime you'll see that Paul said, and when I get out of jail, I'm going to come back and pay you for what your runaway Onesimus took from you, and we're all going to join hands, and we're going to go and continue preaching the gospel. That's the story right there. That's what God shared in my mind. So how that, when I first read it, I said, oh, what does this mean? I don't know what this means. I had to read it a few times, and then I thought, oh, this is about love. That's why my message came from looking at another love chapter, and it pushed me to that one, and then I knew it was coming from him. He said, tie that together. So I'll get you out here in just a moment. AV, can you go with my next, the attributes of love? And here we are. Love is patient and kind. Are you patient and kind? This is your test, Lakeview. If you're already here, then God bless you. I'm not here yet. I'm not there yet. I don't have all of this going on, but these are the attributes of love. I love this chapter in the Bible, and my wife will tell you about that because I will just bring it up all the time. We try to test sometimes when we're doing something. Say, ooh, was that envy? Was that rude? What is, are you patient and kind? So ask yourself, are you patient and kind? Do you rush people? Do you say rough, tough things to those who you say, I love you? And then you rough them up a little bit from time to time. Think about that. It does not envy or boast. Are you proud? Do you walk in the room like with your head up better than everyone else? Are you proud? Do you see that a neighbor get a brand new Escalade and then you say, oh, how did they get that? Envy. Envy someone else's stuff. Do you boast and brag about who you are, what you are? Are you humble enough to just say, bless other people rather? You know, let people give you your hand clap and your blessing, but can you stay humble enough not to boast and say, well, I know I'm the best. It is not rude or self-seeking. Love is not rude or self-seeking. Love is always thinking about the other person. If you focus on some of these things, you're going to see your love grow. It's not easily angered. Ooh, that's a tough one. Sometimes it's just a word or someone will do one little thing and it will make you go off. That's what we say today, go off. They laugh at me on my job because I use old sayings like right on. People say, no, Monty, there is no MySpace, and you don't say right on and all that. But sometimes people can say one little thing and I just like, ugh, my blood boils. And I stay with a nice countenance, but I'm thinking, why? I work in a call center, about 50 people in there, and they line up at my desk for 8 to 10 hours. Someone took my trash can. Someone is talking too loud or whatever. Someone has on too much cologne. Mr. Monty, I want to go to lunch now, but I said it's not time and all that. And all day long. So I get really angered sometimes, but I try to keep it in. But I want to get to a place where I just understand that's who you are, and I just meet you where you are. It keeps no records of wrongs. Do you bring things up from the past that happened to you 5 years ago and with people close to you and you say, well, I remember when you, if you start a sentence with that, it's probably out of line with that teaching from the Lord in Paul's writings. No records of wrongs. Don't bring it up. Don't bring up old stuff and put it in my face. And if we're arguing and it's about the eggs, the fried eggs, don't bring my mama into it. Let's not talk about her and all that stuff. Just keep it, you know, there's a right way to argue when you get angry. You have to argue with these attributes in mind. But don't bring up the past. It's never good to bring up the past. Love does not delight in evil. When you see something on television and someone's gotten hurt, do you get happy about it? We get excited sometimes. We watch movies and shows where there's killing and fighting and all like that. It's kind of exciting, but there's a way to enjoy that as entertainment if you have to, but because it's hard to find anything that doesn't have those attributes anymore, but if you call them attributes, but movies and television, it just has all of that in it. But do you get happy when you see someone hurting? You ever notice, I talked to someone just the other day about babies, little babies, when they first come out of the womb and they can make noises and look at funny, you know, can kind of see what's going on around them. You ever notice that if someone's hurting, like if you drop something or you say, ouch, then the baby smiles. Little kids smile. The clown, remember the clowns? Clowns have a bad reputation now, but the clowns used to walk around and hit the hammer on the head or whatever, and we would laugh when we saw the clowns. They were usually doing something to hurt somebody, and it was funny, but we come out of the womb like that. So that's something we have to learn to channel that we don't delight in evil or pain when someone's hurting. It's just funny to kids for some reason when you hurt yourself. I heard this just the other day. But love rejoices in the truth. When you hear truth, God is truth. When you hear truth, you just get happy about it when you hear someone telling the truth. It protects and always trusts. Always trust. Trust is a tough word, and we have to learn to trust. Always hope. Always endures. Love lasts forever. It's a powerful tool. It's a peacemaker. Love is a peacemaker. It's an arbitrator. If something's going on and two people are fighting or arguing or something, and you introduce love, it will stop that. It will bring that peace into that relationship. And lastly, it never fails. I know we marry and we date and we bond with different groups of people and all, and you know, sometimes you don't get your way and you walk away. I think the marriage divorce rate's probably up in the 60% or so now. So people get angry and they just walk away. But love, if there's love in the relationship, no matter what it is, then it will never fail. You'll just keep pushing through. You'll go back up the list and say, well, the reason we're having this problem is because of number four. So if we can fix number four, we go back to, I think it's 10. It's 10 up there. Love never fails. So that's my story, and I'm going to stick to it. Paul and Philemon and Onesimus. And remember that story, and when your Onesimus comes knocking, somebody comes with a letter to you and says, can you forgive me for what I did? I'm a new man. I'm a new woman now. That's the story. That's what God wanted me to leave you with. That's your walk away, your carry out. I had some carry out bags here. Let's see. See what we got here. Just to close, worship God for who he is. That's a carry out. There's no food in these, by the way. Somebody wants to take them on. But praise God for what he has done. I want you to remember that. That's another carry out today. What he has done. What has he done? What has God done for you? What has he done for you? His love is powerful. It's so powerful. It's a peacemaker. It's an arbitrator. It's just everything. Love, God's love. Powerful, peacemaker, arbitrator, abolitionist. Breaks through walls of strife. God is love. Walk away. We all know that. Love is a peacemaker. Well, walk away. And an arbitrator, and there are many more. I won't drag out the bags because the clock's ticking here, but thank you so much for just giving me your eyes and ears. I hope that you will remember these attributes as you go through your day with your partners and your kids and spouses and all. Just remember some of this. And if you want to find it, you go to Corinthians, and it's the 13th chapter. I think it's the 13th chapter. I'll leave it at that because I don't want to keep looking at these notes and tying up the keeping you here any longer. But that's always there for you to refer back to when there's problems in your life and you want to grow your love, grow your love, grow your love. We as Christians want to have God love in us. So I'll leave you with that.